Father God, we believe that your word is all that we need for life. And we ask you, please, Holy Spirit, to give us truth. We don't want anything apart from your word, God. We don't want the opinion of man. We don't want the lies of the devil. We want one thing and one thing only, God, the power of your word to baptize us, that we would know what is the width and the depth and the breadth of your love for us, God, that we would be able to experience the fullness of the plan, not the good plan, not the acceptable plan, but the perfect will of God in our lives. That's what we want. And we know that your word has it, so we look to your word now. Baptize us in your word. We ask it in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Here's the crazy thing about chapter 17. You can read 80 different commentaries on it. And as I've said before, if you've been with us through Book of Revelation, everybody has got an opinion on what it means and how it says. The symbolism is so rich. However, it doesn't contradict each other, but there is opinions, none of which changes the fact that Christ is the Savior of all. And as an in-depth study, referring back to other scriptures and seeing how the book of Ezekiel and the book of Daniel, the book of Jeremiah and Isaiah all correlate and all feed in perfectly commenting and complementing the book of Revelation, I must tell you, I encourage you to do your own study in the book of Revelation. I cannot in any way, shape, or form take an hour's out of a Sunday morning after all that we've already done, worship and prayer, and say, listen, here's an exhaustive study in the book of Revelation. It's virtually impossible. So I'm trying to cut off just the top part of the layer to make you have an understanding that will, it will almost pique your interest so that you can do your own study. Be like the Bible says in the book of Acts, the Berean who continues to look. Did I make that clear? So good. With that thought in mind, one of the more crazy chapters in the entire Bible, we will now try to scratch the surface of, and in the process, try to insult as many people as we possibly can. You'll understand what I mean. Verse 1, chapter 17 says, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Please give me your attention. John, now still in the spirit, one of the seven last angels who is pronouncing judgment upon the earth, which again, I always say this, remember, we will not be here. You who have accepted Christ as your Savior will not be here, for we are talking about a time and a future that we have not and will not experience, and I pray that none of you guys that are here will experience, because there will be pain on the earth is such that, as even our Lord said, is not was before, nor will ever be a man again. And unless he would have cut those days short, not one person would have lasted on the earth, he says. But I want to interpret a little bit of what we're doing, because as we know, if you studied the Bible, what is the best interpreter of the Bible? The Bible itself. Excellent. Skip down, if you will, just to lay the little bit of understanding to verse 9. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. Skip down to verse 12. The ten horns which you saw are the ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet. Skip down to verse 15. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Skip down to 18. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. The reason I'm reading to you that first is because we're going to see a vision. In the spirit, the angel, the last angel who has the last bowl of wrath that is poured out upon the earth for a world that has rejected Christ, when judgment is finally pronounced, says, John, I want to show you something. I want to show you what's gone on this whole time. So what happens is the angel takes John, and he doesn't just take him to a place, but he takes him to a time from the beginning of creation. I want to show you what's gone on this whole time. I want to show you what the whole world has been missing and who the deceiver of all mankind has been. Are you understanding? It'll make sense. Continuing, verse 2. The latter part of verse 1, just for continuity. Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot, or the great whore, if you're reading a King James, who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of whores and of the abominations of the earth. Please give me your attention. The first thing that you want to understand about this is all of this is symbolic. It's allegorical. There is no actual woman. It's not, some people have used this as a way, see, the woman, the God of the Bible is misogynistic. Stop. Don't buy into all that nonsense. The mystery is Babylon the Great. The first thing we want to understand is what is, who is, where is Babylon. Many men have looked to Scripture to point out that Babylon is a spiritual place. It is a place of religious or economic fortune or lack thereof. I don't see that, and I'll tell you why. Babylon, anybody remember who the first great king in Babylon was? Nebuchadnezzar, excellent. Nebuchadnezzar was raised up, and he was in Scripture called the King of Kings. He raised up an area called Babylon. The Babylonians are the one who defeated the Jews. The first nation to overcome Israel after the great kingdom was risen was Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. Does anybody remember where Babylon is? What modern day Babylon is, anybody? Iraq, excellent. You guys are studying, I like it. So some would have us believe that in the last days there will be a city in Iraq that will again be raised up, and it will be the epicenter of everything that the world treasures, the epicenter of religion, the epicenter of finances. It would also be the center or the headquarters of Antichrist himself. That's why in the last days when she as, and now what happens is with this great whore, she will, in the very last days, right before her destruction, she will be sitting upon many waters. Does anybody remember what we just said the waters were? They were the people, the nations. She will be sitting upon them in all her glory at the highest point right before its destruction. Now, if you've done any Christian studies, you've also heard this. This woman who sits on the beast is the Catholic Church. I don't believe that. It's not scriptural from a perspective of what is going to be described here. 4, the Catholic Church, in regard to the greatness of this particular harlot, this particular beast, is small potatoes. You see, it's not a religion that this beast is after, it's worship. And at the end of days, this woman, this beast, will devour everything that is religion. This is a secular beast who, above all things, craves power. And no religion will be safe in its sight. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you're here and you've done any studies in the book, I heard that's, it's talking about the Catholic Church. I don't think so. Because again, continuing on from here, verse 6, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And they will see the beast that was and is not, and yet is. Again, please give me your attention. Let me explain it to you. All through creation, from day one, the first kingdom that came against God was a man named Nimrod. He was said to be the first Antichrist, and he built the great tower to reach up to God so that all men would worship with one heart and one mind, not the God of the Bible, but they would worship him, Nimrod being the first Antichrist. And all through history, you can go the Caesars, Nero specifically, you can go to Hitler himself. Any man that has tried to destroy the Jews, Israel as a people, would be considered the Antichrist. Now, all through this time, you will see the deception has been the same, to destroy the people of God. Now, to say that either the Catholic Church, even the Muslims, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, in all of these religions, there are those whose heart is loyal to God. For lest we sit upon a stool and say, well, we're Protestants, we got it all down pat. For real? Maybe you ain't been in my church lately. We must understand that all through history, this is the mystery of Babylon the Great. This is the mystery of the great whore. That all through history, she has deceived the nations. For in every religion, no matter what, whether it be a false Christian religion or a real Christian religion, it doesn't matter. Case in point is, does anybody see the thing going on now with the Duggars? Now, I bring it up, why? Is anybody astonished, like, what do these people want? Why are they all over these people? This thing happened 12 years ago. The guy played, listen, somebody did that with my daughters, I'd be pretty upset. And I'm not making an excuse for the dude, but they want these people like put up on a cross and crucified. Why are they, why are the homosexual community, why are the liberal community, why are they coming so down hard on these people? Try to explain it. Try to understand it. Anybody has watched this thing pan out? Am I the only one? Okay, you have. So there's only a few of you guys though. So the other you guys that have no idea what I'm talking about? If you have no idea what I'm talking about, raise your hand. The vast majority of you, okay. Good. Different subject. Have you noticed? Wow. And I'm in like a whole new world, I guess. My wife's got me watching these 19 kids and counting shows, and I'm just ruined my whole Bible study. Do you ever wonder why, as soon as somebody comes out as Christian, the whole world is against them? Why there is such consternation? Why is this Babylonian religion always the same? Men hate women. They're against gun control. They have their credo. They're for abortion. And none of them can think for themselves, for as soon as they accept this belief, we're for abortion. We believe women are being mistreated. And they go through the list of things, almost like this political. Do you understand? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, because I'm feeling lost again. Okay, good. And the answer is simple. This is the mystery, that all through the history of mankind, the enemy of your soul desires you to hate God. Have you gone to a university lately? They teach you how to hate God. Every pull of every thought, every desire, if you are going to be anything in this world, if you're a part of Hollywood's elite, you must follow the doctrine of Babylon to hate God and hate his people. it's not some big Catholic conspiracy. Yes, that's exactly it. I love this. It's that old Catholic woman who sits in the back doing her rosaries, and God hates her because she's sitting there saying, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." Yes, that's what it is. That's the conspiracy. No, 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 I know. And we can pick out the different religions and the different problems. But how about this? The Bible says that God's eyes go to and fro, looking across the whole earth for a heart that's loyal to them. Now, I am not a universalist, and I do not in any way, shape, or form promote to you that any other faith will get you to heaven except faith in Christ Jesus. But I cannot and will not accept any name, whether it be Protestant, Calvary Chapel, Catholic, Baptist, Pentecostal, that any name itself is excluding somebody from the kingdom, for nobody knows what's going on in the heart of man except God himself, right? It's raining. I hope that's a good sign. Whew. This is such a hard, listen guys, this is such a hard section of scripture to teach, because so many people have taught that Babylon the Great is Rome and it's all about the Roman Catholic Church. And I don't see it in scripture. It's not been my experience. And I know many Catholic churches and many Catholic people that do horrible things in the name of God, probably almost as many as that are in the Protestant faith as well. Probably almost as many that are in this faith or that faith. So before we go condemning all religions and we become these elitists, let's not do that. But again, back to scripture. Do you need me? Oh, you need them. Oh. Continuing. Verse 9. Go back to verse 9, please. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. These are also seven kings. Five have fallen, and one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. Now, if you're like me, you're reading that and you're going, I have no idea what you're talking about. Good, we're all together. So what I did is I brought a little illustration, because in order to interpret the Bible, we must use scripture. Would you please put up that illustration? In the book of Daniel, in the second chapter, the great king, Nebuchadnezzar, has a dream. And in that dream, he gives us the exact backdrop, the exact layout of the end of times. In his dream, he has this vision that Daniel comes and interprets. And not knowing it then, because it's 5,000 years ago, but knowing now, he has the dream of this great king that has a head of gold. The breast and the arms are silver. The belly and the thighs are of brass. The legs are of iron, and the feet of iron and clay. What happens is, in the dream, it says that the iron goes to clay and winds up to the 10 toes. Now, even where we pull this off, you see it says Papal Rome. Why do people hate the Catholics so much? Give them a break, okay? They got their own problems just like we got. I don't know why it is, but it is. However, let me explain to you what he says here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he sees in the last of the last days the kingdom that is to come. First, the kingdom, which is now the great kingdom, which is to be religious as well as financial. Because what we're going to see at the end is what happens to the religious system. So we're seeing the great kingdom. Now, these are not the only kingdom to have risen out of the world, but these are the greatest kingdoms who inhabited Babylon itself. Are you with me? Now, Babylon, according to what we just read, this kingdom is supposed to be, was, but not is, but will be again, which sets up perfectly why I believe it is modern-day Iraq and will again be rebuilt. Because at one time, Babylon was the greatest city on the face of the earth. Anybody talk about Babylon lately? It's nothing. It was... It now isn't, but it will be again great. So, the first kingdom to come was Babylon. Babylon was from 605 BC to 539 BC. It was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar dies and he gets overtaken by the Medo-Persian Empire. You remember Daniel's around? If you've read the book of Daniel, you'll see Daniel, remember the writing on the wall, and they bring him in as an old man. That was the Medo-Persian Empire. That was from 539 BC to 331 BC. Then the belly and thighs of brass is when the Grecians took over. Guys, I want you to understand something. What I'm reading to you is directly from the Bible. The insane part is that many of you don't know is that this was predicted thousands of years before it happened, and it happened exactly the way Scripture predicted it would. You see, for the Bible is the only book in the history of man that claims that its whole existence is based upon its accuracy. And the veracity of the truth and the accuracy of it is only as good as it coming to pass. Meaning this, if you've ever had somebody come to you and say, you know, I'm a prophet, and here's what I think, and here's what God showed me. Well, according to Scripture, if somebody says to you they're a prophet and they give you a prophecy, if it doesn't come to pass, you should stone them. Now, aren't you glad the Old Testament is passed? Because do you know how many people have prophesied over my life and my children's life and told me this is going to happen and that's going to happen? One time we had this whole group, when before we moved to the church, we used to be at the hotel up the block, and the services were great, and just a beautiful. And this guy says, God has told me that someday you're going to be in ministry with your brother. I was like, whew. I was such an answer to prayer, because my brother at the time was all messed up on drugs, and someday I was going to be in ministry with my brother. Yes, your brother will serve alongside you. And I thought, man, that is a word for me. Now, about 2 or 3 years after that, my brother died of drug overdose. So it's like, you know what? You know what I need? Another prophet telling me that you know, it's funny. Why does God have a prophet tell me? What am I, missing something? Am I not spending time with him every day? You guys know what I'm saying? So you that are prophets out there, sometimes God wants to whisper something in your ear, and it's just for you and him. So before you go telling other people what God told you to tell them, make sure that it's the Lord, because if it was the Old Testament and you tell him something and it don't come to pass, and that's not the kind of stones you want to get. So going now by Scripture, Daniel chapter 2, continuing on this perfect, that was no good, honey? Greece then takes over in 331 BC, before the coming of our Savior. From 331, almost 200 years, to 168 BC. You notice how we're going backwards, because it's BC, so now we've got to go up. You understand. Then the Grecian kingdom. Then Rome took over. And as you guys know, Roman Empire was the biggest ever. The Roman Empire from 168 BC to 476 AD. Now, something happened in between the fall of Rome. That's why it turns, the iron turns to clay, and then the last 10 toes are what some would say is the European Union. There's going to be 10 nations in the last of the last days, and these are the things that are being described to us right now, that in the last days. Now, guys, again, we're long gone. We have now watched. John has been taken in the Spirit from the beginning of time, and he shows him, listen, all through history, there's only been one beast. And whether it is the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar or the kingdom of the other guy that built the tower, Nimrod, whatever it was, there's always been one lying spirit that has pulled the people away from God. That's what he's trying to say. There is one. The mystery is this. There is the mother of all harlots, the abominations of the earth. She's drunk with the blood of the martyrs. She's drunk with the blood of the saints. Your child was deceived. You and your parents were deceived. They were attempted to be seduced by the same spirit. The beast hates you. Do you understand this? This is, it's not the Catholic Church. It's not the Mormons. It's not the... Read Scripture and you'll be safe from anything that is lying in any of those religions. Stay in Scripture. If you're a part of a church and they tell you not to read the Bible, shame on you for not reading it. But as you're reading Scripture, as you're spending time, you understand what he's trying to say here. He brings you to the beginning of the age and says, listen, even in the Garden of Eden, it's always been the same deceit. Don't marvel, the angel said to him. Why are you marveling? Why are you surprised? It's not dumb luck that your kids stumbled upon pornography. It's not dumb luck that you wound up hanging out with somebody who was hooked on coke. It's not stupid that you... Name the vice that has pulled you from the Lord. Guys, it's the enemy of your soul. There's a real live devil out there. And he has a kingdom of demons. And he's trying to wreck your family. He wants to wreck your family so he can divide you and conquer you. He wants to tell you that it doesn't matter. And it does. You receive the Spirit of Christ and you will start to see this. You ask for the baptism of the Spirit. You find yourself engaged and entrenched in Scripture, and your deception will be less. Do you understand that? I hope I'm making this cohesive. I'm putting this all together because we're talking about history of the whole earth. How many people can say the whole earth knows my name? And this is what they desire, only to find out the earth is a speck. Verse 12 says, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings. Those are the 10 toes, guys, at the end of the last days. They have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. So here's what the angel says to John. He said, these kingdoms are marked out, and they give their loyalty to the beast, and the beast makes them kings on the earth. Now, it could very well be that the United States of America is one of those toes. You know, as the Christians are taken out, as our country moves into more secular society, it could be that one of those toes will be in that European Union, will be. And here's what happens before the millennial reign of Christ. And I'm piquing your interest, hopefully, and you'll look that up for homework. And when we start looking at the millennial reign of Christ, you'll understand what I'm saying. It could be he sets them up and he says, okay, you guys are going to rule the earth with me. And we will rule together. And for 1 hour, when he raises his kingdom up, they have their glory. 1 hour, and then watch what happens. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. They will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords, King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Please, give me your attention. You've been deceived. You've been lied to. You've been told that sex is no big deal. You've been told that drugs are your choice. You've been lied to because God who made you, he gave you all these things and he says to you, they are precious. They are precious and you are precious. The deceit of evolution, it's a lie. There is no science in it, but yet the world buys it and they teach it. And here's what they tell you. Because evolution makes no sense scientifically, it only makes sense spiritually to the dead. You are an accident. You are a mistake. You were a part of slime that crawled out, and through billions and billions of years, you became who you were. You're no different than a monkey. You're just an evolved monkey. There's greater and lesser. And what a setup it is. The deception has been in detail. So what happens is this beast, he's so stupid and deceived that he starts to believe his own publicity. He is now sitting above the whole earth, and he sees the European nations, whether we are water is united, and he goes, you will reign with me. And they worship the beast, and that's what he wants. Worship the beast, and he sits above it, and he goes, you know what? Now that I think about it, maybe I can defeat the Lamb. Maybe I can. Now, you guys that have been, you understand the Lamb is a reference to the Savior, is to Jesus Christ. So wait a second. He sent his prophets. You guys remember back? I remember, I think it was 7 or 8, 8 or 9, when the prophets came back and he defeated them, even though they rose and went up to heaven. That doesn't matter. I defeat. And he talks about the kingdoms that have risen and fallen. And he starts to believe himself. And he goes, you know what? We will. And if you guys remember Psalm 2, that the kings of the earth take their stand against the Lord and his anointed, but he will hold them in derision. He'll laugh at them, and he will destroy the nations with a rod of iron. Are you kidding me? And he says, those that are his, they're called chosen and faithful. Bible says that many are called, few are chosen. He's coming back, and he has a job for us to do. And when he finally pronounces judgment, he's going to laugh. He's going to laugh at the enemy. Look at verse 15. Then he said to me, that is, the angel said, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So here's what happens. Okay, guys, keep. Babylon is again built up. It is raised up. The epicenter of everything that is religious, of everything that is financial. It is now the greatest city on the earth. And the beast, he employs the 10 kings to rule and reign the earth in Babylon with him. But as the enemy himself has deceived the nations and again thinks he's going to defeat God himself, I don't know how, they go, okay, religion ends today. We finally have it all where we want to be. So they begin to devour everything that is of God, whether it's the Catholic Church, the Mormon Church, Jehovah's Witness, the Sikhist, the Buddhist, the Muslims. He doesn't like anything. Being satanically deceived doesn't mean that you're working for the Antichrist, for the devil came to kill, to steal, and destroy. And even with the whole sect of the Muslims that are now destroying, you think they're working for the enemy? They're deceived, just like most of the other religions. Deceived. They've been lied to, and they think they're doing God a service. But in the end, the devil will destroy them just like he wants to destroy you. And that's where mercy's got to somehow come into your heart. There's no explaining this in a way that we fully understand. Believe me when I tell you. But here's what happens in the last days. They turn their ire on Babylon itself, and they devour it, and they burn the actual city down to the ground themselves. Verse 17, for God has put it in their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast, until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw in that great city which reigns over the kings, and the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now again, I scratched the surface, guys, just the very surface. I want you to do research. I in no way detailed this thing. There's so much more to this than what we just looked at. So much more. The things that I wanted to get across to you, the people who serve God with me here at our church, are please don't think that we are elitist. We are not the only church of God. There are many people and many churches all over the world that are going to heaven. And there is no name that brings you there except the name of Jesus Christ. And for the sake of those that I love, I pray and I hope that in every religion there are those that have remained faithful. What the Bible calls the remnant. Because the harlot, you see what she sits over? She sits over the peoples of every nation, tribe, tongue, no matter what language they speak, no matter what color they are. So when I use this, because I look out over our church and I see the diversity of the faces and the colors I say, okay, God, I think we're doing it. I think we're really, really making this thing a go. I don't want a white church. I don't want a black church. I want a church of people who love God. And if you're going to run, you're going to run because we're preaching God's word, unadulterated, pure. And if you're offended by these things, bye. I won't see you next week. We're going to do communion now. And what a great time to do communion after a study like this. Because if you're, go ahead, elders, deacons, got to grab that. If you're one of those people that are a Bible geek, then your interest, again, is piqued. And you're like, man, I gotta read this. I gotta figure this out. Yes, you must. You must figure it out. You must read. And if you have questions, I have told you before. You guys, yeah, want to come up and play? Warren Wiersbe, Chuck Smith, excellent names that you can do some research. Be careful who you read about the book of Revelation, because you can be deceived. You'll pick up a book, like, I couldn't find anything on the internet that had a better thing, but yet still, oh yes, it's the Roman Catholics. They're our great enemies. Come on. Come on, guys. I think it was our Lord Jesus Christ that said it best. He was without sin, let him cast the first stone. I'll be the first one. When we come across scripture that says erroneous things that any of the religions done, I'll be the first to call them out. But before that, I'm going to look at my own self. It was I was at a conference some years ago, and Jim Cimbala, the pastor to Brooklyn Tabernacle, he said, look, I hope I have the most biblical church on the face of the planet. I hope we do everything that the Bible says and never stray from it. But the second you think that God starts working because of you instead of in spite of you, you've now erred terribly. The holiness of God is a whole lot greater than you going to church on Sunday or reading your scripture every day. Believe me. Okay, so when you get your communion elements, hold on to them. We're gonna let Leah and Alex play a song. Spend some time considering that you're not gonna be there in the end times. Spend some time considering and thinking, here's another great thought. Why don't you spend some time thinking about the people that you know as of right now are not saved, and use that as a time to lift them up in salvation prayers and say, God, for my uncle, for my aunt, for my mom, for my dad, for my son, God, would you, I don't want them to be there for that. I don't want them to have to see that horror that falls upon the earth. I don't want them to see the coming of the next great empire of Babylon. There's some scary stuff we read, guys. Some scary stuff, and I thank God that he's chosen me, that I don't have to be there for it. I will tell you this, though. I really hope I'm one of the ones that come back, man. I want one of them white horses and a sword, like, Do you know that the Bible says this? That man has been appointed to judge angels. Did you know that? You know that? So here's the way Ken Graves puts it, and I love it. He goes, when you receive your glorified body, even though you were made what the Bible calls a little lower than the angels, when you receive your glorified body, you might be a little higher than the angels. And you're going to have to go into a room and go, oh, there's the guy. I remember you. Remember the first time that you introduced me to Coke that led me down a road? Let's talk about that now, Mr. Angel. You know what I mean? All right. Judging angels. You might be that. I want to come back and judge angels. Because we ain't talking about a bad day. We're not talking about a flat tire or an accident, a car. We're talking about dead relatives. We're talking about daughters that have been ripped off, prostitution and pornography. We're talking about the devil doesn't have a good day. The enemy that we read about, he's not looking to make you have an argument with your wife. He wants the complete destruction of your entire family. He never looks and goes, hey, you know, Kurt, you had a rough day yesterday, you know, you got whatever. Let me leave him alone. No. The Bible says that the devil came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And he will not stop until you are dead. There is no little bit. So you must be armed and dangerous. You must be suited up with the Word of God. You must be filled with the Spirit of the living God. For you can't just rescue yourself. You have others that need you. That's why God's brought you here, to fill you with His Spirit, to prepare you to go out and to make disciples of all nations. Let the enemy hate you because you're emptying out his kingdom. So, I'm going to sit down now. I want you to look at the bread. I don't want you to partake yet. We'll partake together. I want you to look at it, and I want you to say, the Bible says that he is the bread of life. Notice that it has holes in it. It's cooked. And that's what they did to our Savior. They pinned him to a cross. His friends all left him. They burnt him that day. And I want you to look and say, how does my life line up to his life? Have you ever been hurt? Have people that you ever loved taken advantage of you? Somebody you put your trust in? Know this, the Savior knows. He's been there. For all things that you have gone through, He went through, the Bible says. I want you to look at that bread, and I want you to put yourself in His place as He's willingly put Himself in your place. And then I want you to look at the cup of juice. I want you to look at it and say, He spilled His blood so that you could have life abundant. So if you look at that juice and you say to yourself, my life sucks right now, I need help. That's what that represents. The help for your sucky life. The help for my sucky life. Guys.
Sinner, if it's not one thing, it's another. Savior, and you take brokenness aside and make it beautiful, beautiful.
Maybe there's somebody in here today who's never accepted Christ as their Savior. Maybe they've never made a profession of faith. Maybe they have made a profession of faith in their hearts, but today they want to make it public. They want to say, you know what, I don't care. In front of 50, 60 people, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to proclaim my faith. Because sometimes we need that. Sometimes the faith that you proclaim to yourself is good, but the next level sometimes is just to, you know what, damn the shame and stand and proclaim. As he, for the sake of us, hung naked on a cross. If you want to make this thing official, just not just for yourself, but for those that think you've been playing a game, and now you're going to prove to them by standing up. If you want to accept Christ as your Savior, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It'll be your heart, but we're going to do it together. Go ahead and stand up now. Yeah, it ain't an easy thing. It ain't an easy thing to stand up in front of a room full of people. It's a big life change, but I promise if you do it, God will begin to work. And I can't promise you it's going to be easy. I'm not going to promise you that. It's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done, but God's going to be with you. He's going to rescue you. More important, you now are going to heaven. You're changing your destination. For the first time, you're making a commitment that will stand. So if that's you, if I'm talking to you, and listen, if it ain't, just stay sitting down. It makes no difference to me. I want anybody who wants to go to heaven to stand up. If you ain't interested, the best thing to do is sit down. Because if you stand up and say you want to go to heaven and then go live in the world again, you're just going to make it even twice as miserable. Then you won't even have fun out there. So don't make a proclamation to the Lord unless you're serious about this thing, unless you really want God to make a change for you. You're not going to have to do it. God will do it. So, again, if you want to stand up and receive Christ as your Savior, if you want to make this profession of faith to say, yes, I'm going to be a Christian from now on, go on, stand up. Burning in you, isn't it? Boy, I could hear it. I could hear the tension in your heart. Don't deny it. You're not doing it for me. And later on, you're going to ask yourself why you didn't stand up. I ain't saying this is going to be your last chance either. I'm not saying that this is it. After this, you're done. You're going to hell. I'm not saying that. I'm saying very few times in your life is a decision that clear. Very few times in your life is it like, okay, here, I'm at the pinnacle. I'm drawing that line in the sand, and now it's time to step over. Okay. Stand up, then. Don't worry about anybody else. Just worry about you. Okay. This is the broken body of our Savior. When we receive this, we're making a symbolic gesture to God saying, I want your life in my life. I want my life in your life. I don't want my plans, I want your plans. I don't want my ways, I want your ways. Do not eat this bread if you ain't serious, because if you do, you will bring condemnation upon yourself, the Bible says. This is a time for Christians to get serious. Symbolically speaking, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm not telling you what I say. If you want God's plan and not your plan. Go ahead and take. This is the blood of the new covenant, the Bible says. You're proclaiming by drinking this that you cannot get to heaven of your own accord. You can't be good enough. You can't be right enough. You can't read enough Bible verses, go to church enough. You can't do it. What you're saying is, God, I want to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as the propitiation for my sin. I'm accepting your righteousness. And the picture is you're letting him robe you in white robes. It's a really weird thing. What if I took white robes and wrapped them around Austin and had him walk in here? You think, man, that dude's weird. And it's that weird. In the last days, you're going to get to heaven, and they're going to put a white robe around you, and they say, come on in. You're clean because of God robing you in his righteousness. Amen. Accept those white robes. Yes. Now, if you're here, and I know there's more than one that did not stand up during that altar call, you can come on down afterward and we can talk about it. And you can accept Christ as your Savior at any place and time. But I will tell you this, the enemy knows that you've just walked away. The enemy knows. Don't let him win in your life. You've been eating pig slop for too long. You're miserable and you're unhappy, and God is offering you a way out. Take it, please. I know, and this room is full of people who know. We've been ripped off too long. Don't leave without making this right with God, please. All right? Stand up. Got a more upbeat song?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. 'Cause you make all things work together for my good. All things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me, and your love never fails. Oh, your love never fails. For my good, you make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Yes, he makes all things work together for our good.
You guys have a good week.